Good day, and welcome to the Galaxy Gaming third quarter 2013 earnings call. Today's call is being recorded. If you have not already done so, please log into today's web presentation. You may do this by going to galaxygaming.com and clicking on Investor Relations. There will be a link to log into the WebEx presentation of today's call. At this time, I would like to turn things over to Robert Saucier, President and CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Good day, everyone. Before we get started, just as is typical, remind everyone that we may be making forward-looking statements which are protected under the Federal Securities Safe Harbor Act, and those forward-looking statements may or may not come true. I want to start off by doing a review of this last quarter and some of the highlights of some of the things that it accomplished. The first thing I want to discuss is as it relates to kind of a regional breakdown. So, and I'm selecting the five particular states in the United States to address. The first one I want to talk about is California. Obviously, there's been a lot of publicity about what happened to us in California. And I wish we could give you a good explanation, but the regulators that we're talking with, they don't seem to have a problem, but their attorneys seem to be making a lot of the decisions. And I think we've just been chasing our tails in California in terms of trying to get that resolved. We do have a hearing scheduled now for June of next year. So until either that gets turned around or we get some of the regulators to sort things out for us, we are declining, to conduct business in California. That is both good news and bad news. The good news is that, or let me start with the bad news, actually. The bad news is we lost some revenue. Gary, about how much revenue?
It's about $160,000 for the nine-month period.
So $160,000 for a nine-month period. And, of course, we'd never like to lose revenue. And the other bad news is, of course, the bad publicity. The good news is that the other gaming regulators have not followed suit. The damage seems to be contained in California. I'll be reporting on a couple of those other states here in a moment, but, all is well there. The other good thing to report is that we've been losing money in California. This has been a very expensive process for us, and so even though we will have less revenue, profits should rebound because of the expenditures that we no longer have to make there. So with that, let me move on. I just want to address a couple of other things quickly. Let's go on to Washington. We reported some time ago in a press release and an 8K that there were some administrative charges filed by the Washington State Gambling Commission against us. We thought that they were bogus. We thought that the investigator that conducted the investigation was biased and his methods were improper. We complained to the commission, negotiated with the commission, and much to our delight, the commission withdrew all of the charges against our company. In addition, we got agreement from the commission that particular individual would never be associated with Galaxy Gaming again. So that was a fantastic achievement that we were able to accomplish in Washington. We did, of course, agree to pay the audit fees. Gary will go into those in a moment, but the audit fees were, most of which were expensed in this quarter. And that's just typical. Companies typically, in jurisdictions we do business in, whenever we go through periodics, we just have to pay those fees. But there was no fines or sanctions or anything. It was a complete withdrawal. Moving on to, I'm zigzagging around here a little bit, but moving on to Arizona, a couple months ago, we received an approval with a regulatory agency down in Arizona. They had full knowledge of, and this was after the California incident, so they had full knowledge of that. But that did not bother them, so they went ahead, went forward and licensed us. We have applied for a license in Ohio. and we see a significant opportunity in Ohio. There's four fairly substantial casinos in Ohio, and we have orders from those casinos, and so we're going through that process, and we see Ohio as a major expansion. If we were to guess in terms of when we would see the impact of those revenues, possibly the first quarter, or if not, by the second quarter of next year, we should see revenues from Ohio. But that is very significant. And again, we go into these and talk to the regulators, and you know, they apparently are not bothered by the incidents in California. So we think that that's very isolated and just unique to that particular set of circumstances in that state. And then finally, in Nevada, some of the things in Nevada is that we've gone ahead and, again, based upon our reputation, have applied for an unrestricted manufacturer's license. That's going to be a significant investigation. We don't know about how long it's going to take, but it could take anywhere from 3 months to 9 months, and the cost could actually be several hundred thousand dollars. That's a very prized license to own, and we're going forward because there's a lot of things that we can do in Nevada that we're limited to not being able to do without that type of license. So that's kind of a recap in terms of some business news. One of the things we've not done a press release on, but something that occurred just the last few days, is we got confirmation from Caesars Entertainment that they're going to expand the high card flush game into all their properties up and down the strip. So they seem to lead the way, and we foresee that other casinos on the strip will be putting that game in as well. I'll get into High Card Flush and some of our other games in just a moment, but that's a recap for what's happening here domestically. across the pond, as they say, in the British Isles, I came back from a two-week trip over there and met with a lot of our clients, had a lot of good meetings, got to understand the market quite a bit more. And one of the things that, that you know, just to kind of understand what this market looks like. There's 145 casinos in the market, but most of them are fairly small. The licenses that they have restrict them to no more than 20 slot machines. Typically, the number of table games that they have may be 15 to 20. And they're small casinos, but we are in every one of those casinos with our products. So it's been a good market for us. But what's happening there is a movement now to allow larger casinos. So there are several large casinos, more that are being built. So we just see the UK market continuing to expand. And then another jurisdiction that we've kept our eye on is Ireland. And there's nothing definitive yet, but all of our sources indicate that Ireland could open within a year or so. So we're continuing to keep an eye on that. We have the rights in the British Isles for three-card poker, which is the top game in the UK. And so we look forward to being able to get into Ireland. There's actually some casinos in Ireland that are using our games without our permission, but you know, we ignore that because until the market is legitimized, we don't want to participate in it. But we anticipate that, like I said, probably within a year. In addition, we've been doing additional product introductions. One of those is High Card Flush. High Card Flush has been introduced in the UK. Had outstanding results in the first several installations that we have, so we see that spreading. Our prime, what we call our prime three-card poker game, which is three-card poker with an additional prime bet, has been very successful. The prime bet has gained great acceptance by the players. And so we have some other products that we are going to be introducing to that market very soon, this quarter. In addition, we are working on beginning the rollout of our bonus jackpot system. So in the UK, we have a company called England Casino Supplies that we work with over there. They have the technical force necessary to service these products. They have some of our products now, and we're looking to expand that in the near future. So we're quite excited about what's happening over in the UK. When we did the acquisition, we only thought that we would be able to grow the revenue 1% per year. That was our projections that we had. And I'm pleased to say that after about 2 years, we've grown the total revenue there right around 15%. So we're ahead of that target, and we see a lot more opportunity in the UK going forward. Something else that occurred this last quarter, which is a big event for us, is the Global Gaming Expo, or G2E as we refer to it. We had a same size booth as last year in approximately the same location, and we had a fabulous turnout, our best turnout ever, and the best, most successful show that we've ever had. We debuted our World Poker Tour Heads Up Hold'em. We had celebrities from World Poker Tour come and attend, and I would tell you that our sales team was very pleased with the results of this year's G2E. Next year, just to give you a heads up, is that we've decided to double the size of our presence. So we have a new location and double the size of the booth next year. So we will be the dominant table game company at next year's G2E. So speaking of high card flush, this is just give you an idea of what the layout looks like. But this game is doing phenomenally well, and we are ahead of our projections in terms of the rollout of that. The game is typically can command about $1,000 a month per table, which is far more than what our averages have been. So this is a game that we are trying to rapidly deploy, and it's been getting a tremendous amount of success. Literally every jurisdiction that we've placed it, foreign and domestic. And that's not always the case with games. Many games will have some regional tendencies to them where people will, for some reason, in some jurisdictions, the game will do very well, in other jurisdictions it won't. We're not always sure why that happens, but, you know, it's just the facts of life in our business. But this particular game, High Card Flush, has done well everywhere. I mentioned we did the rollout at G2E. Some of you may recognize Mike Sexton in the middle. He's one of the celebrities of World Poker Tour. Some of you may not be looking at Mike Sexton at the moment, but anyway, Mike is a great guy and was very helpful in terms of rolling out World Poker Tour Heads Up Hold'em at the show. In addition, we have a number of promotions that we're going to be doing with World Poker Tour. So on upcoming televised events, they're going to be displaying and demonstrating the game, and we're going to be tying in to the major poker tournaments that they have around North America. So very excited about our partnership with World Poker Tour. Moving on, we introduced another new game. This is a World Poker Tour. Excuse me. So this is what that layout looks like. And I know it looks like a lot of circles and squares and a lot of writing, but to a person who's interested in playing these types of games, this is a very thrilling game. We just recently launched this game into a couple of locations, and the early results that we have, we're extremely pleased about. A comparable game that it competes against, we find that the numbers on this game, on our game, are outperforming the numbers of the competitor games. So we think we have a solid hit on our hands with World Poker Tour Heads Up Hold'em. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Gary. He's going to update everybody on our financial results for the quarter.
All right, thanks, Rob. Good afternoon, everyone. I want to start out by reinforcing what some of you may have seen in our earnings release last night. The third quarter represents the ninth consecutive quarter of growth to our recurring revenues. We are also proud to announce that for the first time in our history, the company has surpassed $2 million of quarterly revenue. Bringing us to the charts, let's compare Q3 this year versus Q3 of last year. Revenues for the 3 months ended September 30th were approximately $2.14 million, an increase of $262,000 or 14% over Q3 2012. This continued increase was due to several reasons. First, we continue to grow our 21+3 product, which has grown to more than 1,400 tables worldwide. We've also seen our very popular product, High Card Flush, start to really emerge with many more tables in Q3. This is especially good news because High Card Flush is one of our highest priced products. In Q3, we did have several one-time revenue-related items. As you may notice in our 10Q document filed this morning, our product sales were $110,000 for the quarter. This is primarily due to the sale of a lifetime license of our Lucky Ladies product. The sale was only for a small number of tables and had an attractive multiple. I would emphasize that while we are still committed to a recurring revenue model, we expect to continue to take advantage of occasionally selling lifetime licenses. I'd also point out that revenue for Q3 includes approximately $49,000 in U.S. dollars, the result of a revenue audit of a foreign client. This one-time event is included in the product leases and royalties line item on our statement of operations. Adjusting for these one-time revenue items, our recurring revenue base was approximately $2 million, a healthy increase of 6% over third quarter 2012. Despite having double-digit gains to revenue, we saw marginal improvement in EBITDA to $798,000. As indicated in our 10Q filing, our SG&A expenses were approximately $1.2 million, an increase of 23% over the same quarter 2012. This is due to several reasons. Foremost, we incurred legal and regulatory fees this quarter due to the California administrative hearing. Additionally, you may have seen our press release in early September regarding withdrawal of all administrative charges by the Washington State Gambling Commission. As Rob mentioned, this was a very successful result for the company and the outcome that we sought in Washington. But while the charges were withdrawn, we're still required to reimburse the commission for its routine audit fees. This amounted to $109,000. While our SG&A expenses were higher this quarter, we do not at all expect this trend to continue. Furthermore, we recognize an impairment to an intangible asset in the amount of $150,000. The intangible asset was a result of a 2008 purchase from an outside sales representative to sell and distribute in California. Due to the exit from California, we do not expect revenues there in the near term. Accordingly, we recorded a non-cash $150,000 impairment charge to reduce the carrying value of the intangible to its estimated fair value as of September 30th. The combination of the increase in SG&A expenses and the non-cash impairment led to us recognizing our first net loss in six consecutive quarters. I reiterate again, we do not expect this trend to continue. To give you an idea as to how we're progressing for 2013 so far, I would like to compare this quarter versus last quarter. Our revenue increased 10% between the two quarters, from $1.94 million to well over $2.1 million. Counting for the one-time revenue occurrences, we saw an organic increase in recurring revenues of approximately 2% between the two quarters. EBITDA saw a nominal increase between the quarters, primarily because of legal and regulatory fees incurred in Q3. Between the quarters, we reversed from a profit in Q2, to a slight net loss in Q3. Now let us shift our attention to compare the nine-month period ended September 30th, 2013 versus 2012. Our revenues for the nine-month period were just shy of $6 million, a 13% increase or $667,000 over the same period last year. EBITDA improved by almost $360,000, an increase of approximately 18%. For the reasons I discussed earlier, this is translated into net income for the nine-month period of $168,000. This is significantly greater than the $20,000 profit recognized for the same period last year. While I'm on the topic of our 2013 performance thus far, I'd like to take a moment to discuss California and the impact we foresee in Q4 and going forward. While we do not expect to generate revenues from California beginning October 1st, the effect of the top line will be minimal. For the nine-month period ended September 30th, 2013, revenues included only $167,000, which is less than 3% of gross revenues. We continue to experience strong growth in all other territories, so we don't expect California will have a significant impact on our top line going forward. Additionally, we do not expect any significant legal and regulatory expenses related to California in the near quarters. This will further help ease our SG&A expenses, and we expect significant improvements to both EBITDAs and the bottom line. Now, turning our focus to the UK, I'd like to discuss the performance in our top-performing international market. This chart shows how our revenue tracks in U.S. dollars versus the sterling. The green line indicates the amounts recognized in U.S. dollars, and the blue line indicates what our billings are in the functional currency. In Q3, we recognized approximately $427,000 in U.S. A favorable exchange rate accounted for most of the increase in U.S. dollars. However, you will see that when looking at the quarterly billings in sterling, we increased revenues almost 4% between Q2 and Q3. Some of this is related to price increases that started to roll out in Q3 and will continue into Q4. Additionally, I would like to point out that the $49,000 in U.S. dollars recognized as a result of a revenue audit that I discussed earlier is not reflected in these numbers. As I've mentioned in previous calls, it is important to remind everyone that the UK market is unique. Unlike our North American clients, our UK clients are billed based on activity. That is, that the operators are billed based on the number of days the tables are used. So inherently, there will be some fluctuation based on the product mix or seasonality. I will say that we expect our UK revenues to have an uptick in coming quarters. We have some corporate initiatives and price increases that continue to roll out. We are also looking at several deals that will further increase our footprint and revenue in the UK. Now let's look at our performance metrics. When comparing Q3 2013 to the same period in 2012, we've seen an overall increase in most areas. Our average proprietary table game count increased by over 250 tables year over year. Most of this increase was due to 21 plus 3 tables, which drove up our side bet units and service. We have seen a slight decrease in our premium games year over year. This was due to several reasons, including the exit of an international jurisdiction and the effect of some natural variability in the product mix of UK activity. However, I want to stress that with the rollout of our new products, which are primarily premium games, we expect this number to increase in future quarters. Our enhanced table systems continue to do well. While we have experienced some variability in the number of BGS and MegaShare tables, we continue to maintain high average quarterly revenue. Recent quarters, we have become very particular about the location of installations and the type of game placed on each platform. This is because we have found that both of these characteristics play a key role in the success of our table systems. With respect to our TableMax product, we had several removals in Q3 due to the exit from California. However, these were lower performing units, as indicated by the significant increase in the average revenue metric. Looking at the comparison to the prior quarter, you'll see our total unit count increase just slightly, with our proprietary table game count surpassing 3,500 tables worldwide. Between the quarters, we did see a slight decrease of premium games. Some of this relates to the product mix activity in UK, and some relates to removals in August from California clients. We continue to see additional placements of our 21 plus 3 side bet, high card flush, and now in Q4, World Poker Tour heads up hold'em. The continued success of 21 plus 3 as our highest priced side bet is the main driver of the increase in our side bet revenue. Additionally, with our focus on higher priced premium games, we will see average revenue continue to rise there as well. We have seen a slight decline in the number of enhanced table systems, mainly due to the exit from California. We expect the total number of enhanced table systems to stabilize due to the combined installation with a new game, World Poker Tour Heads Up Hold'em. Our e-tables continue to consistently perform, as indicated by the high average quarterly revenue. As I mentioned previously, the average revenue per seat increased due to the removal of lower performing units from California. Before I hand off the call to Rob, I just want to remind everyone of a few items with respect to our investor visibility program. Foremost, we are undertaking a full redevelopment of our website. This will implement our new logo, connect with our new branding, and provide a better user experience. And if you've been following us on Twitter or Facebook, you may notice more social media posts regarding Galaxy and the gaming industry. And if you're not following us, you should be. You can find us under the moniker Galaxy Gaming LV, where there's a link at the bottom of our homepage. And last, if you haven't downloaded our investor app, I also encourage you to do so. Not only will you get real-time alerts about the company, but we will be providing more and more content and information through this meeting. I will now hand the call back over to Rob.
Thanks, Gary. All in all, it was a pretty good quarter. I mean, we
The company remains solid, on solid ground. We're building relationships. We're getting more product out. But I want to focus a little bit on what we see is some of the our growth opportunities. Most of this is going to be directed more near term than longer term. But, you know, this should reflect the next up to the next 4 or 5 quarters. The first thing we have coming up, and we did a press release on this about a week ago, is what we call the Raving Table Games Conference. This is produced by Casino Journal Magazine, and it's, you know, extremely small in size compared to the Global Gaming Expo, but the nice thing about this conference is that it focuses only on table games. So the people that arrive are decision makers that are very interested in table games. And what happens is that within this conference, there's a separate exhibit area where different game inventors will show their games and actually compete to have the best new table game. And Casino Journal awards first, second, and third place. The first year that this conference existed, we took third place. The second year, our game took second place. The third and fourth year, we took first place. With last year, it was High Card Flush that took the first place prize. And this year, we decided to take a different tact, and that was that instead of actually competing, our company has grown enough and we have enough distribution that it wasn't important for us to try to win the first place prize again. What was more important to us is to help the promoters of the conference and help the game inventors that show up with new game ideas, but they find that the barrier to entry is too high. So what we do is we've become a part of the prize that is giving out, in that we will be helping game inventors who come in first, second, or third develop their new games. This gives us access to these game inventors. They feel less threatened that we're a competitor and that we're there more to help them. And so we're always looking for new game ideas, and this is one way that we'll participate by being a major sponsor of this conference. That the conference, by the way, is next week, and if any of you happen to be in Las Vegas and want to get in, we'll see what we can do to get you in the door. So in terms of our what we identify as our future growth opportunities, we've mentioned two very, very solid premium table games, World Poker Tour Heads Up Hold'em and High Card Flush. And these games are in the average of about $1,000 a month. So if you looked at the previous slide, our side bets, for example, were $437 per quarter. These games can produce around $3,000 per quarter. So we're very excited about getting more and more of these in. And the two games we have are performing very well, so we foresee we just want to get more of those out. That's very important to us. In addition, we're working on another new premium table game. We won't release what it is yet, but it's getting close to where we will be releasing it, likely before the end of the quarter. And we're excited about this one as well. In fact, this could be our best premium table game ever. The market will tell us that, but we're pretty excited about the game. In addition, we want to upgrade our bonus jackpot system. Our bonus jackpot system we've been working on for years, and we continue to make improvements to it. There's a number of unique features that it does that our competition doesn't have. But there's also a couple of features that our competitors have that our bonus jackpot system does not have. And what we want to do is we want to be able to leapfrog the competitors and have everything that they have plus a lot of unique things that we don't have. So we've made a real commitment to get that system upgraded. And we expect some of those to come out in the next within the next 6 months or so. We mentioned before the British Isles market. As I mentioned, the UK is very healthy, but there's, and Gary alluded to this, there's a lot of opportunity for us in the UK to continue to expand over in that market. This year, We will be attending once again and exhibiting at the what's called the ICE Show in London. That stands for the International Casino Exposition. And we have a large booth there, centrally located, and we'll have the majority of our products on display there. That's in February of this year. And in previous years, that's been a great show for us, and we think this year is going to be even better. So we foresee that. And then also, you'll see us probably announce in the coming months expansion below the equator. So I won't go into too much more about where we're going, but we have some stuff we've been working on and are firming up some orders. So you should see an announcement of expansion beyond that. And with that, operator, I think we're done with our presentation. We'd like to open it up for questions.
Certainly. If you'd like to signal for a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please ensure that your mute function has been turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we'll hear from Andrew DeSilva with Merriman Capital.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a couple quick questions. You did a good job going over everything. So how much revenue were you recognizing in California for the quarter?
Revenue for the quarter was between $40,000 and $50,000.
Okay, and we can expect that's completely gone in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Okay. And then has there been any other fallout as far as other gaming bodies pointing fingers saying that the California Gaming Commission, kind of dropped you out? I mean, is there any other windfall we should be worried about at this time, or have you guys kind of passed that point?
Well, we've had some inquiries from other jurisdictions, but, once we've addressed it, they've seemed to be satisfied. So there hasn't been anything that has alarmed us. And like I said, we think that the thing in California was so unusual that that's what gave us the confidence to go through and apply in other jurisdictions and, and getting a warm reception there. So we can't say for certain, of course, but it seems like the damage has been limited to California, and we hope to contain it there. But as Gary said, we're expanding in other jurisdictions, and that looks, rosy for us.
Good. And then the Nevada license, is that true that it can trump any other state's license? Essentially, if you get approved there, you can get back into California or any other state, essentially, the most stringent process there is?
Well, it's an unwritten rule, but, the Nevada license is extremely valuable. It's very well respected around the world. But as we saw what happened with Caesars Entertainment in Massachusetts, Caesars is a very well respected company. They have licenses in multiple jurisdictions. And, they ran into a fluky thing in Massachusetts. And sometimes those things just happen. I mean, that's what happened to us in California. It's what happened to Caesars in Massachusetts. It's what has happened to other companies from time to time in other jurisdictions.
Got it. Okay. And I guess kind of sticking with that legal aspect, what were your legal expenses for the quarter? And then going forward, as you're trying to get this new license, how should we model, quarter over quarter legal fees? Should they rise or will they stay essentially the same since you're out of California now?
Sure. So our legal expenses specific to California were somewhere around $100,000 for Q3. Going forward, it's a little bit hard to tell exactly how Nevada's going to actually hit the income statement, but I would probably estimate we're probably looking at least $50,000 to $75,000 a quarter in fees.
Okay, and then shifting gears a little bit, High Card Plus, you said it was going to be in all the Caesars casinos on the Strip. How about how many tables? Do you have any idea what the revenue impact from that could be and maybe the timing? And then any other insight you have in High Card Plus as far as how many table deployments you have to date?
Yeah, we have with us Dean Barnett, who's our head of our sales team, And Dean is the one responsible for working with Caesars. Dean, can you try to give an update on that?
Yeah, good afternoon. We're in the process of right now training some staff at actually the Flamingo here in town. It's already been live for some time at Planet Hollywood. We have meetings scheduled Monday to begin the installation and training of their staff at Harrah's. And then the other properties will be right behind that. I don't have the schedule for that yet, but did meet with some top executives the other day discussing the rollout. So Caesars does have a little bit better deal because of their size and their distribution capabilities. So they won't be $1,000 games like most everything else, but the company will recognize on a very positive side is we're going to really blanket the strip now with that game. A lot of the other operators are certainly aware of it. They're going to see it now live. The numbers are really spectacular. As you can imagine, Caesars would not spread this game unless the numbers were worthy of doing so. And then that will carry over to the other states. We have approvals in virtually every other state where we do business for this game. So those rollouts are forthcoming as well.
Got it. Good, good. And then maybe you could answer this question as well. I'm not sure. You were talking about in previous quarters maybe rolling out a roulette game in the UK. Is there any progress with that? I know it's essentially the biggest game there. And then also Baccarat, you're coming up with a side bet version of that. Is there any progress with that as well?
Well, as far as the roulette, the upgrades that I mentioned before that we're doing to the bonus jackpot system, many of those same upgrades are what we need in our roulette project. So that is that's going forward, but we still see it as a ways off, and really won't see any meaningful revenues from the roulette project. The earliest I would see that we'd see any revenues would be towards the end of next year. And as far as the Baccarat product, we have one. We've displayed it. We're still evaluating it. We may be tweaking it a little bit, but we haven't released that out yet.
Got it. All right. That's everything I have for right now, guys. But look like they're trending along. So that's good. Good luck going forward, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Andrew.
And again, that's star one if you'd like to ask a question at this time. We'll hear next from Mark Robbins with Catalyst Research.
Hey, thank you. First of all, Rob, you and I chatted a little bit about the Wynn's, Steve Wynn's commentary at his annual meeting and about the jurisdictional problems that even Wynn's is having. I think it was with Massachusetts. Was there any further fallout or follow-up from that conversation? And, you know, it just kind of gives a good backdrop as to, you know, what the industry is facing, particularly given the fact that here are these states looking for more and more and more tax revenues, but on the other hand, they're making it ever so more difficult through regulation to operate. So how about an update on what Steve Wynn said and maybe some observations?
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. I mean, I would prefer to let Steve Wynn answer for himself, but he's not here on the call. No, I mean, you know, he's been very vocal because, you know, what his view is that a lot of times some of these new jurisdictions, or as he referred to them as rookie jurisdictions, think that people that are in the gaming business, they automatically assume that people in the gaming business are unsavory. And I think that there's, you know, he was quite frustrated by that. He has spent billions of dollars putting together a premium product that people can be proud of, and at the higher end of the scale. And so his frustration was in dealing with, in the case of Massachusetts, his frustration was that the Massachusetts regulators would not sit down and talk to him. And that can be very frustrating because there really isn't any issues with our company that can't be worked out if we just talk to people. But when you have regulators that say, you know, I need you to do this, this, and this, and you pick up the phone and call them and say, geez, we'd like to meet with you and talk some of these things through with you, and they don't do that, it becomes very frustrating. And in reality, the most effective regulators know that communication is the number one key to regulation, because that's how they find things out. But so, you know, he was frustrated. Even though he is competing against Caesars, he was quite disappointed in the way that the regulators in Massachusetts treated Caesars. So I think there's some parallel of what happened there and some of the things that happened to us in California.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the update. To that end, I think you answered the question as to how much it was going to cost to continue the regulatory process in Nevada. Are we talking about the same kind of numbers as we enter into Ohio? And then in that same vein, in a previous conversation, I think this was after the first quarter of this year, you were chatting about the opportunity that the Eastern Seaboard provided. Any thoughts on new jurisdictions there, and can you update us on that at all?
Well, as far as Ohio, no, Ohio is not anywhere near what Nevada is, and we've already paid those fees. So we paid the fees in advance. I think the only other fees we pay is once we're licensed, and we pay for a 3-year license fee. But total all in, the investigative fees and the license fees for 3 years is less than $50,000. So it's not that bad at all.
That's a piece of cake.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, you don't like to spend that kind of money, but Ohio represents a very nice market for us, and so we look at wanting to expand there. Beyond that, and again, I'm going to rely on Dean to talk about the Eastern Seaboard, because Dean has been back there on several trips and have had a lot of success. Do you want to just go into some of the highlights of our Eastern Seaboard expansion?
Yeah, sure. There's actually some very good news coming out of that, like Rob indicated a couple quarters ago. The 21+3 product, as most of you know, has been very popular, or had been very popular prior to our acquisition of that, but mainly along the Mississippi River area in places like Mississippi, Missouri, Indiana. Mr. Derek Webb, during those years, did not expand that product beyond that area for his own reasons. So we have taken that really from coast to coast now, and like with all new products, it takes a little time to generate some interest in the game, and then even beyond that, we need to generate, you know, real positive revenue numbers in order to increase that those amount of games that are placed in those casinos. So during the last really year or so, we've put a couple games here and there from New Jersey and Delaware, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maine, probably forgetting some states, but the good news about this is in almost every case, I don't believe we've actually lost a game anywhere we put as far as 21+3 goes, but the expansion is ongoing. Just today we received another order from a very premier casino in New Jersey, signed contract for another 40 games. Another property down there that's really beautiful, you could probably guess what it is. They'll be expanding with both of our Lucky Ladies products and our 21+3 product. So it continues to go on and on that way. The challenge that we have to do as a company to move beyond that is to get some of these premium games approved. High Card Flush is approved in a number of places there, but not everywhere. And we, as Rob indicated earlier, we've just begun the rollout of where Poker Tour heads up Hold'em, so we're in the process of getting those approvals as well. So the Eastern Seaboard is growing mostly with our side bet products, but the pipeline is filling with our premium games as well.
Thanks, Dean.
That's great news. Thank you. Lastly, I think I saw an Easy Baccarat at the Global Gaming Expo. Is that the Baccarat possible game that might come out?
No, that's actually a competitor's game.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back into queue.
Thanks, Mark.
And as a final reminder, that's star one if you'd like to ask a question. We'll go next to Bruce Rutland, private investor.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are y'all doing today?
Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Rob. I appreciate Dean's explanation of that. I wanted to follow that up with just one quick thing, Rob. Is there any way going forward, since you did present the map on the webcast, to sort of keep that up to date as we go through these conference calls so we can tell, number one, where currently where you have jurisdictions? I certainly don't expect you to list, you know, every game, but where you have applied and can do jurisdictions with all or most of your products. And number two, from a revenue point, to see going forward what the potential may be besides just sort of going from state to state. And then, of course, I'm going to follow up with what Dean may can tell me if he's there, to see what your backlog is of iCard Flush in Louisiana and when it's going to be approved. And, of course, we know we just you just got the Mississippi approval out. What kind of backlog you see in those two states?
Well, it would be difficult for us to try to do an analysis of every state in terms of you know what potential we see and you know where we're going to focus. And obviously, that's some competitive information we wouldn't want to release anyway. But I think we're free to since it's your neck of the woods there, Bruce. We're free to talk about what's happened with the rollout in Mississippi, and I don't know where we are in Louisiana. Do you? You can talk about what results we've had in Mississippi, and then where we think we are right now with Louisiana.
Yeah, the game is live in Louisiana right now as well. The game is live, as you know, in Mississippi and expanding. There's a gentleman, Mr. Pietro Santo, that works with us here. He's expanding the game right this as we speak in Missouri. Games are coming online, and we're training some staff out there. The story that I would tell, if you don't mind, maybe moving off your question a little bit, is what's really interesting is, from Galaxy's perspective, we've never really had a solid footprint in the specialty game area. When you walk through a lot of these casinos, you'll see other premium games from other companies, and Galaxy had been very successful in the side bet market and in the pie down market. But iCard Flush has brought us to the forefront of the specialty game pit. And the reason it's growing and the reason we're talking about it, the reason Rob and Gary are sharing some numbers with you, is we're getting reports that right off the bat, this game is outdropping most everything else that it's competing with. The hold percentage is right in the sweet spot that the casinos are looking for, and that results in a very favorable win for us. So iCard Flush is, in fact, live in those states. It's moving rapidly, and the reason it's expanding really is because it's performing exactly as we had hoped. So we're very pleased with that.
Okay. When do you all expect to roll out, probably in Nevada or wherever, Rob, the heads up, hold them either on field trial for 90 days, or can you give us a little bit of update on that, when that might get out?
Yeah, before the end of the quarter, we'll be on field trial in Nevada.
Okay.
We're just finishing up our submissions. I mean, we'll be done with our submissions fairly soon. I think just a matter of days, and we already have a field trial participant committed, so we'll be submitting to Nevada in just a few days.
Okay. And, Rob, you can go ahead. Y'all can go ahead and sell these games. This unrestricted license in Nevada is not, I guess the term would be, choking off any proprietary games that you could sell, correct?
I'm not sure I understood the question, Bruce.
Okay. Well, any proprietary games you got, iCard Flush and or I know you place them in the World Poker Tour heads up hold them. This waiting on this for 6 to 9 months, this is not going to choke off any potential sales of any standard proprietary or side bet games in Nevada, correct?
No, I mean we're currently registered in Nevada, which allows us to sell all of our games and any new games we come up with. The the concept of an unrestricted manufacturer's license is it really allows us to get into new areas, particularly with linking of casinos electronically and some of our other electronics. So it allows us to go to a very advanced level beyond where we are today.
Yeah, if I could add something to that. You know, Rob had discussed earlier that we're going to have some upgrades to the BJS system. So once we do get that license in Nevada, we'll be able to hit the ground running with a product that we'll be able to generate revenue with and use that license for that currently our current registration doesn't allow us to do. So immediately, you know, the day we get that license, we'll be able to go out and make some sales. However, once we do get that upgraded BJS system, there are other jurisdictions there that once we get through their approval process, we believe that there's tremendous opportunity there as well. I don't have the specific statistics, but I would say that there's upwards of, we'd say around 30-40% of tables have some sort of electronic progressive on them. So there's a substantial market opportunity for an advanced BJS system for us.
It may not be that high, but it is increasing rapidly. So that you're right, there is a great opportunity there.
I think it, Rob, it's about 18%, and I think only about 30% is proprietary. So I guess what we're saying here, there is a lot of meat on the bones for proprietary. And as you well know, I'm a fan of wide area progressive, and I think that's where y'all are sort of heading or taking this. But that sounds like great news. Okay, I appreciate that. I'll get back in the queue.
Bruce.
And again, that's star one for questions, and we'll pause for just another moment to allow everyone a chance to signal. And gentlemen, it appears, we do have a follow-up from Bruce Rutland. Please go ahead, sir.
Hey, Rob, I was waiting on somebody else to kick in. One question, looking toward 2015, there is going to be, it looks like, an expansion from what I think around 47,000 to 53,000 tables worldwide. I guess my question, and point blank, you may or may not want to answer this, y'all currently looking possibly at the shuffler market on that?
Now, Bruce, I
heard a chuckle is all I heard. I don't know what that
means. Yeah, you'll just have to hang around with bated breath on that one, Bruce. Can't let
Stay
that
tuned.
One out of the bag. All right.
Stay tuned for the channel. I got you. Okay, Rob, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And, gentlemen, we have no further signals in queue at this time.
Great. Well, we're ahead of schedule a little bit, so with that, we'll go ahead and conclude the call. I want to thank everybody, and we look forward to another call in the spring.
That will conclude today's conference. Thank you all once again for your participation, and have a wonderful day.